Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, with all due respect, I know that we live in a republic. But the truth of the matter is the church resides under a monarchy. And Jesus is the king. It's all about King Jesus.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that you can defeat fear with faith? If you want your life to be ignited every day with effortless faith, peace, purpose, and direction, you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Now, Barry's infectious love for Christ shines through every page of this book. You're going to really like it. You're sure to realize that the further we stray from the Lord, the greater the turmoil, and the closer we get to Him, well, the greater the peace, the love, and joy that we have in our hearts.
It is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, How Can We Serve You? Part 1. 1 Corinthians was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul reminds the church that he is a servant of Christ, a steward in the things of life for their benefit, and can only serve them best by being faithful. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that faithfulness is impossible unless it's rooted in obedience to Christ. Christianity and the church are all about servanthood. But sadly, many of us are guilty of doing what we want to do and not what Jesus wants us to do. Now, with his message called How Can We Serve You? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Church, grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Man, we are moving. We are in chapter 4. And before you know it, we'll be in chapter 5 in a couple of weeks, maybe, or so. And it's amazing. And Paul is speaking. And listen, his number one passion that you've already heard, but his number one passion was this, that he did not pretend to know anything among them ever, except this one thing, and that was Jesus Christ and Christ that is crucified. That the gospel was Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world and for the sins of the Corinthians there in Greece. And having laid that foundation, he began to speak to them. He first of all, in the opening chapter of chapter 1, he began to speak to them about their place and position with Christ. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, he began to speak to them about growing up. He talked to them about stop your divisions, stop your gossip and your backbiting of one another, and get along and stop being encamped in certain areas of the church that one group would say, well, we're of Paul and this group of Apollos and this group of Peter or this group of Christ. He said the church is not divided. The body of Christ is not divided. And then he came to chapter 3 and he announced to us, and we saw it last week, that the Lord does not delight to live or dwell in temples made with human hands. And that God himself tolerated the tabernacle wilderness wanderings of the Ark of the Covenant with Moses and the children of Israel. God tolerated that. And then when they crossed over into the land of Israel, and in due time God gave the construction plans to David and Solomon. Solomon's temple is built, and the Lord allowed himself to fill the temple with all of his glory. But he tolerated that for a season. He made the announcement, can you build me a house that I can dwell in? I don't dwell in homes or a temple made with human hands. And last week we saw that God's passion was that he would dwell in your life. That God's desire was to dwell in the heart of every true believer. That the real living temples of God are we who are Christians. The Bible says, filled and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so now, chapter 4, Paul listen to this, levies upon them what are the most conservative commentators would say a sarcasm. In reality, Paul lays on them an extreme sarcasm. He really comes down on them, and it's very graphic. We'll go as far as we can this morning, but church, I got to tell you, what Paul says to them in chapter 4 is truly radical. The title of the message this morning is, How Can We Serve You? How can we serve you? Have you ever been to Chick-fil-A? Are those kids radical for Chick-fil-A? I mean, they just serve you. Do they not serve you? I've driven through Chick-fil-A with my dog with me. And my dog even got a doggy bone from Chick-fil-A through the drive-thru window. And have you heard, when you walk in there, do you hear are they at these, how can I help you? Can I help you? And they're like back behind the counter, can I help you? Can I help you? Man, it's awesome. It's kind of like where I'd like to go to church. The service of all that. How can we serve you? Paul is going to be saying to the Corinthian church, how can we serve you? But how do you hear that? He is saying, how can we serve you? But he will also be saying, how can we serve you? Because there ain't no pleasing the church at Corinth. They had still in their minds a concept of what church should look like. And what church should look like to the Corinthian believer 2,000 years ago, sad to say, is not too far from the Southern California Christian. Pastor, what have you done for me lately? What has the church done for me lately? I'm going to go to this church to see what it can do for me. And that is not church. I know that comes as a shock because we have been so indoctrinated to pulling up, walking in, sitting down, and putting the worship team or the speaker, the pastor, the whoever, on a pedestal, not to honor them, but to judge them. It's a big deal in the Western church. And it's like this. I didn't really get much out of his message. I hear that a lot from people. I didn't really get much out of your message. You know what, personally? I learned a long time ago something big time. I read it in a book by Charles Spurgeon. It was very cool. Charles Spurgeon says, if you think that your teaching abilities are pathetic, he says you can counter that by having your sermon with Bible verses. Have a lot of Bible verses in your sermon. And he said, you'll guarantee to please God. So check this out. If I were a monkey right here, right now, pressing a button and I gave you Bible verses, it is no longer a show or a performance. The moment you hear a verse from the Bible, I'm not being judged. I love you, but you're being judged by the word of God. And that makes me too. We are a church together. When I read the Bible, I'm being judged by the word of God. Are you with me on this? This service is definitely a service this morning for the believer. Pretty serious stuff Paul makes the announcement about. Look at verse 1 with me, chapter 4, verse 1. It may be as far as we get. We'll see. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, Paul sets them up by saying, let a man so consider us. Draw a circle around that. This is what I'm to do. Okay, what is it? He says, consider us, number one, as servants of Christ. And number two, stewards of the ministry or mysteries, excuse me, of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Two words stand out instantly. Servants and stewards. Watch this. Look at verse one. Let the church at Corinth and Chino Hills consider us. Who is us? Apollos, he is saying. Paul, Peter, or Cephas, it reads in your Bible. That's another name for Peter. This is how you are to look at us. You say, oh, wow, what's he gonna say? Well, you see the word servant as servants of who? Christ. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, aren't you supposed to serve me? According to the Bible, I'm supposed to serve Christ. And that's how I serve you. So you see, that's why the title of the message is, how can we, pastors, ministers, servants, those of this church, children's ministry, greeters, ushers, parking lot ministry, How do we serve you? One way, by serving Christ. That's the only way it's going to work. Can you imagine for a moment if we all took a poll? Imagine if we took a poll. Well, why don't we just take a poll? If there's 3,000 people sitting here right now, there would be 6,000 opinions. How do you do that? There's only one way to do that, to serve Christ. Listen, with all due respect, I know that we live in a republic. But the truth of the matter is the church resides under a monarchy. And Jesus is the king. It's all about King Jesus. And so Paul says, what am I to do with you Corinthians? Well, there's one thing that I'm to do. I'm to be a servant of Christ. You see the word servant? It's the word in Greek, huperetes. You need to mark this word down, huperetes. You say, what is that? The word is a lower level oarsman, a rower on a Roman galley, on a Roman ship, either a merchant ship or a warship. It's the lower level of rowers. You say, what is that? Who cares? Well, because if you are on the lower level of rowers, there is a top level of rowers. And the Roman rower, oarsman, was a man condemned to death. He was a slave. He was chained to his seat. He was not getting up. He sat on wooden slats. When he died, they unchained him and threw him overboard and replaced him with another prisoner. Do you see why? If you have to be a prisoner, you wouldn't want to be a huperetes. Because not only are you rowing like the other guys, you're under the other guys who can't go anywhere. And so when they went to the bathroom, they went to the bathroom on you. There was no clean, pristine little American standard toilet thing on the boat. There were no urinals. You were the under oarsman. Paul could have used a different word. He said, I am a rower on a ship and I'm on the lower level. Can you picture that in your mind's eye for a moment? Paul says, that's ministry, that it happens to you. But I'm serving God. You're going to get dumped on. But I'm serving God. Well, you know what? You're going to get it. You say, Pastor, I don't like that picture this morning. Tough. That's the pit that he could have used a different word. That's the word he used. So we are going to be taking signups today after service. I'm joining the ministry of huperetes. Come and row with me. Paul uses a tremendous word. And then he uses the word stewards. This is a great word. The word stewards means that you are responsible for your master's possessions. You don't own them. And in the end, you're to give them back to him in better shape than you've received them. Protect it all through your life and then present it to him at the end when he calls for them. Paul says, that's what we are in the ministry. We're oarsmen and we're stewards. And it's an amazing thing that he sets up before the mind and the eyes of the Corinthian church, because it was all about Greece. It was all about their worldview. It was all about intelligence, all about oratory skills, all about putting on a show. We'll see this later, probably next week, when we get to that word spectacle, which is our word today, theater. Paul says, we've been made a spectacle to the world. And you think, oh, how cool is that? Oh, no, no. Western mindset, wrong set, wrong view. Change set. An under oarsman.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So the first thing we'll look at this morning is in verses 2-5. And it is this: how can we serve you? Paul says we serve you best by being faithful. Will you mark that down? By being faithful. Jesus said in Luke 16 verse 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in more or much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the trust of true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Faithfulness. Paul says here that we need to be faithful. How can I best serve you? Number one is to be faithful to God. You say, well, yeah, you go, Pastor. You totally condemn yourself. You crucify yourself, Pastor. You go for it. Wait a minute. Don't raise your hand, but are you a Christian today? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, we're all in this together. I happen to be standing up here 3 feet above you, when in reality, I should be 3 feet beneath you, rowing this boat, right? But we're in this together. You say, well, whatever. Well, if you could have raised your hand a moment ago as being a Christian, I want to ask you something. To what is it that you are being faithful? And I'm talking about more than the given things. The given things are your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, God, country. Those are given. But what else more as a body, as a church? There's a lot of people here right now. Why are you here? To be real Christians in an age like this, to make a real difference, to change the world and culture around you. Jesus said, be faithful in that thing that I've given you to do. And every Christian is to be faithful in something. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what that something is. Guess what? I can give you the word of God. We have pastors on staff to disciple you, and we have ministries for you to get involved in. But we cannot make you do something. We wouldn't make you do something. We want you to talk to God. We want you to pray. We want you to speak to him. And guess what? He'll tell you what to do. That's what God does. He tells Christians what their marching orders are. What is it that you are to be rowing at? I'm not going to mention a certain person's name I have in my mind. Lisa and I were talking about her last night. She's faithful at this church, I think, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks after this church started, back in the warehouse down the street. And every Sunday you can find her, a volunteer at the copier machine, serving without a voice, without a complaint, serving Jesus, faithful to Jesus. And the chairs, when you came in this morning, they're straight. The carpet, vacuumed, windows done. Staff members don't do this. That's done by volunteers who faithfully, without a name, without cameras, without lights, serve in this body. And they're faithful. And so Paul would say to us today, what are you faithful in? What thing is it in your life that the church needs you to do? It's my prayer that all of us who can raise our hands as Christians can also raise our hands as servants, as huperades, those that are serving, sometimes even unnoticed below the belly of the ship, serving that others might be blessed and that this ship might be underway. The Roman centurion met Jesus, and the Bible says in Matthew 8, verse 9, he says, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Listen to that. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus goes on to say, this is great faith. That centurion understood that. The centurion was under order by Rome. He turns and speaks to another, and Jesus said, man, that's awesome, because I'm under the authority of my Father, and I turn to my disciples, and they do it. And that centurion, Gentile, got it. Huperades, being faithful. How so? Number one, this way, faithful to the commitment. Is there a commitment in your life that you're faithful to? In verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards. And you want to ask yourself this question, what is it in my life that I will answer to God about, that I will give to him about, that one may be found faithful? I want you to underline verse 2. That should be personally up front and foremost in your life, lived daily. If you have to put it on your mirror, honestly do it. Print it out and tape it onto your car or whatever it takes. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, says Paul. That almost sounds arrogant. Paul says, I'm not listening to you, and I'm not even listening to me. Of course, it's not arrogance that he's talking about. Listen, church, listen. He's talking about a commitment that he knows about that God has laid on his shoulder. To live a life that he's required to be faithful to it. This is what God's called me to do. Can you say that? You want to be able to say that. And when it comes, by the way, look what he says. He says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. He's telling the Corinthians, it doesn't matter what you guys think of me, Paul is saying to them. It's invalid. It's a small thing. And he says it's a small thing that I should be judged by a human court. Why? You guys, do we not all have opinions and judgments on matters and issues? Of course we do. We're humans. We live in a dangerous age right now. People can get on the internet and judge you, and you won't even know about it. They can say all manner of evil against you, and you may never know. And here's the big thing now. People are taking pictures of you, and they're taking your face and putting your face on the body of someone else and then uploading it to the universe with your name on it. So that's not happening to me. How do you know? We live in an evil age, a dangerous age. See, why do you bring that up? Because humans, we have no capability of clearly judging anything. God is the ultimate judge, so much so that Paul the Apostle says, I don't even judge myself. You see, man, that sounds kind of arrogant. Well, first of all, let's be honest. First of all, there is never a shortage of judges when it comes to a ministry. I mean, let's be honest. There's no shortage of volunteers when it comes to judge and stuff. Here's what Paul says. I can't be moved by that. That's what he's saying. Church, listen, this is for your strengthening. He says, you can't be moved by that. You guys, when someone comes up and criticizes you, how do you deal with it? Are you so committed to Jesus that the criticism, though it may sting brutally, you've got to take it and put it behind you? Are you listening? Yeah, but are you guys listening over there? That you're so committed to what he's called you to do. That when somebody says, you talk too short. I've never heard that one for me, but you talk too long. Or this, or you talk too fast. Or some lady wrote me a letter. Maybe you're here today. And she wrote me a letter. She goes, I can't listen to you anymore. I didn't even ask you to listen to me. First of all. She said, I cannot tolerate the tone or pitch of your voice any longer. Ma'am, I cannot tolerate the tone or pitch of my voice any longer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, How Can We Serve You? Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. We're glad you're here. And you know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, you and Barry McGuire are pretty good pals, right?
Yeah, and probably for our listeners, we need to make clear, this is not Barry, right?
Yeah.
This is not Barry McGuire, the singer.
The 70s.
This is Barry McGuire, whose car wax and car products you guys probably have in your garage, the most sold car product, wax product in the world.
Isn't that amazing?
And he loves Jesus.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, you walk into Walmart and you go into the car wax, it's all McGuire's.
I got to tell you, he honestly, we go to a restaurant, doesn't matter where we're at or what we're doing.
Yeah.
He has this ability to just ask someone, excuse me, how are you? My name's Barry. I'm a man of prayer and I don't mean to intrude, but is there anything I can pray for you for?
What kind of reaction?
That's how he starts he loves people.
What kind of reaction does he get from that?
Well, I've been with him and the first reaction is a person is dumbfounded.
Yeah.
And then the person will say, well, my mom's got cancer. Because everybody, you know, we've all got something going on.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
And so when Barry says, can I pray for your mom? What's her name? So then they start to well up, the tears, the lip begins to shake. And then he ends that time by simply telling them about Jesus.
So he's written a book.
Yeah.
Right? Ignite your life. Yeah. Tell us about it.
Ignite Your Life. It's just basically that. How to move people closer to Jesus by loving them. The book is all about loving souls, loving other people into eternity. And so, yeah, please, you don't have to be a car guy to get everything out of this book that you need to share Christ, for sure.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.